Alright, I should have been recording this a long time ago because, of course, I'm talking about something. Talking about the LGBT community, which I think is hilarious because I don't think it's a community. It is everybody who deviates from established sexual norms and relationship norms. And I think those norms are rather broad and quite inclusive. And when people decide to step outside of that, to a large extent, they're wanting attention. I'm not saying that they're being dishonest. What I'm saying is that they choose to look at existence through certain lenses. There is not one lens, gays are different from lesbians, are very different. These are, I don't know why they lump them with transgenders. They don't have anything particularly in common. And I simplify things, and it's very cruel. I don't know if it's cruel. Yeah, I'll say it's crass, because people try to be nice and considerate of other people's feelings, and I really don't when I'm doing this. Gays and lesbians are if you say I'm a gay person, that's what saying is the largest thing that defines you. And you go, man, said I hope you're not that shallow, but apparently many people are. Transgenders, I don't have a sound for them. But I put two fingers up on each hand, pretty decent amount of space between them, and go up and down. That is not a sexual indication. What that is what they feel is the acceptable boundaries between men and women. Transgender is all about stereotypes. It is people that are absolutely ruled by extremely narrow, and that's why the space between the two fingers on each hand isn't very far apart at all. When for people who don't identify this way, you can put huge things, male is big and female is big, encapsulates a lot of people, because the only difference between the two sexes predominantly, or what you can see, is penises and vaginas. Now there are more, there's a certain anyway, so you have these things. So when people go, or this, they say I am either L or G, or they do the little things, the fingers close together, but the arms far apart, to indicate the acceptable range of behavior. That's the T. I know there's a B in there, which is bisexual, which means that you'll just have sex with any old thing that'll stand still long enough. For which I have zero respect. It's like, you just have no self-restraint at all. And it's like, gracious. And we're sitting there patting these people on the head, and the plus, which I guess means the pedophiles and everybody else, try to put cues in there to say I'm questioning, and you go, why question? It's rather straightforward. Men, women, there we go. It says, the sex that is workable and functional among these things are between opposite sexes. I totally reject the whole cis thing. I have no idea. That is a new term that I utterly reject. I'm not really accepting of homo and hetero. I am not heterosexual. I am lisasexual. I have sex with one woman. It has been it's been a good deal. 6 kids came from it. I feel like I've done my duty to God and country in perpetuating the species. And I wish more people were more interested in doing that. I wish that was considered to be a virtue these days. It is not, and that's sad. Because, Western countries are shriveling because of their acceptance of, there's just one term that covers it best, deviance, sexual deviance. And, if that term offends you, tough. That's the term. That's a term that's been used for hundreds of years, thousands perhaps. Anyway, so I get on this because sometimes I will listen to this Week in Mormons. The guy who runs it, open shot. I don't want to. I'm sorry. I'm not here to impugn it because I don't get his name right or I don't remember it very readily. That's not the purpose, but he's very much interested and loves putting these kinds of things on his podcast. You go, it's fine, I probably shouldn't listen to it. Of course, they'll say, well, if you don't listen to it, then you're not open-minded. And you're going, oh my gosh, wow. It says, yeah. It says, boy, let me tell you, what interesting marketing. If you don't listen to my podcast, you're a closed-minded bigot. And you go, wow, I wish I could do that with my recordings. Call you out for being such an absolute asshole for not hanging on my every word and saying, boy, that Jason Nevino, he's just so brilliant and so wonderful, and I don't expect anybody to think that at all. I don't put it out there, and I don't even try to get advertising because I know that I would get shut down. It was interesting. I've been putting my website on some web rings. Old idea before search engines were really decent. Of course, people would say now that search engines are now kind of bought and paid for, and it's search results to the highest bidder and according to algorithms, which are interesting. But anyway, web rings, and there's one called the Yesterweb web ring, and it wouldn't put me on there, although I've got the kind of website that makes that is. It looks like, it's like, boy, that looks like it's from the 90s. And you go, yeah, which was Yesterweb, except that they say that if you say anything that seems to be not very kind to the LGBT people, we're not going to let you on here. And you go, okay, whatever. So here I am, I am proudly and soundly not on the Yesterweb site. They tell you, oh well, you can always clean up your site and make sure you take away all that stuff that would offend such people, and then we'll reevaluate it. And you go, oh, this is, I'm not interested in doing anything like that. I will very, very steadfastly and proudly keep my website exactly the way it is. And if it's offensive to such people, then I'm tired of hearing about what offends other people. You know, and I think when I was younger, I think I used to worry a lot about how other people felt about things. And the LGBT community and stuff like that has really kind of disabused myself of caring about that. I'm going to say what I think is right and what I think is useful and good, and I will continue doing it even though most of society, where I used to be a pretty good, nice, wonderful person, now I'm evil, nasty, and wicked, and I don't care. I'm not going to be cowed by those kinds of accusations. I'm not gonna change to try to make myself do better. I'm having to do that enough at employment so that I feel like I'm not threatening my income, my job. I'm gonna be very happy and you know, as soon as I can retire with a decent income, I'm gonna do it, because I'm feeling tired of censoring myself, because that is the environment that a lot of workplaces demand. You must censor yourself. You must give your preferred pronouns. Some people do that, wear their preferred pronoun badge with honor, and I don't. And I'm not gonna, you know, I am going to avoid it as long as my workplace will tolerate it. They recently hired a diversity officer, so I really don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to. I don't know how long I will be tolerated in a diverse environment. How about that? Which is like, well, that doesn't sound right. And you go, it shouldn't sound right. It's not a diverse environment. It is the environment of only certain attitudes and certain sorts of people are going to be tolerated working in this environment. And you go, then I'm not interested. I am getting close to retirement, and I'm going to take it. And then I will feel so much more ready to continue to speak out. Anyway, so, and I do, sometimes I keep This Week in Mormons on my playlist. Other times I just take it off because I go, you know what, that's all this thing's getting to be about now. It's all about a very, very carefully instructing the church in having to be at odds with Christ. And I'm not going to do it. You know, I said, I'm pretty sure I will never be a bishop, because I will get myself canned. And you're going, sorry, I am going to continue to operate within the parameters that I think the Lord finds acceptable. And everybody else is visitors welcome, but you know, these are the church standards, and these are what we talk about. And I'm not gonna, you know, these guys sit here and talk about, well, we should spend more time in church talking about these issues. And you're going, no, I want to spend more time at church talking about what Christ wants us to do. and the fact that if we find ourselves at variance with what Christ's mission and the agenda of God is about, then my take on it is let's talk about repentance. Let's talk about how to get yourself back aligned with Christ. It's not to make you feel comfortable and happy. You know, it's like, well, my parents are Latter-day Saints and I was baptized in the church. Therefore, the church has to be accepting of me because of my membership in it. You're going, I think you've got that incorrect. Continue talking about this. I'm going and getting myself. I'm ready for church, but I don't want to be too loud for my neighbors. What's in this throat? I like podcasts. I don't mind tons of different podcasts on all kinds of topics, including the Truth in Mormon. That doesn't mean I have to listen to it. It doesn't mean that if I don't listen to them, the bad person. And I'm not going to swing on anybody else. They can say what they wish. And I'm a liberty guy. Climbing up into the boat. Oops, you know what? I've got to go to the bathroom. I need to pause. There's no reason why somebody should have to listen to me go to the bathroom. So I'll be right back. All right. The sound is probably quite a bit different now because I'm in the boat. I'm wrapped up in my bedroll. Not quite to the place where I usually am when I go to sleep, but pretty close. It's dark. And still recording. Got to go back to what we were talking about. You know, says I'm not very you know, they say, well, you haven't had a lot of exposure to this kind of stuff, and you go, oh, well, I don't mean to be rude, but I've got a daughter that's decided that she's transgendered. And I look at it that way, and you say, oh, it's not her choice. And you go, oh, yes, it is. I said, everything's a choice. I says, that is the one thing that God gave to everybody. And when I listen to people of the sexual deviancy, whatever style of it they intend to have, the first thing they always say is it's really beyond their control. And it's like, and I reject that pretty solidly. You have a lot more ability, willpower, then you're giving yourself credit for under those circumstances. The whole thing of I'm trying to find myself. I think in the past I was trying to find myself too. And I ultimately came back to the idea that it's probably a lot of wasted time and effort and thought to get really too weird about that. You know, as a priest of the Lord. I think it's only worthwhile to the point that you need to know what your strengths and weaknesses are, so you know what to work on to try and get align yourself more closely to Jesus Christ. And when it talks about that you need to know yourself, if it says that in Scripture, which I think it only does like once, that's really what that's about. Not to deceive yourself, saying you're a better person than you are, or that you're worse than you are, which is my big thing, is that I tend to go for saying that I'm worse than I am when it's not really true. You know, I think I'm reasonably decent. Of course, you know, the LGBT community thinks that I'm horrible because I'm not like, oh, yes, I need to validate everything you say and tell you how wonderful you are. And you go, I'm not. This is, I'm sorry. I think a whole lot of people in these who decide that they are a part of these groups, these disparate groups that have nothing in common with each other, particularly, except that they feel like they're not treated well. That whole thing, that whole victim card is very, very useless. Nobody respects it. People who go around flinging that around, that people aren't treating them right or that they're not understood or whatever, is like, well, it's just, I'm sorry. And they go, well, you're not willing to spend however much time I think is sufficient so that you can understand how I feel. And you go, you're right. I have absolutely no interest in spending any time trying to figure this thing, trying to let you chew my ear off. Because I've noticed that about these people. It says you can't, you know, they will. There is never a moment where they're going to say, okay, I don't have to say any more about this because I think you understand. It's just never going to happen. And yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, I've got other things to do in life besides listen to this kind of stuff. Read 20,000 books, and it doesn't matter if I read all the books, if I don't come to the conclusions that, like, say, for instance, my elder daughter wants me to come to, I have not read enough books. I have not listened to enough this and that. It's like, I'm sorry. I'm just not going there. And that's the basic response I have to all that. I said, I'm sorry. It's hard to say if it's an I cannot go there or I will not go there. I think it may be a little bit of both. It says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm not heading down that road. And whether it's a can't or a won't, it doesn't matter. It's just, I'm not going there. And it doesn't matter how much you say, well, then you are a hateful person that is incapable of love or whatever people tend to say about such people. And you go, I really don't take any stock in what you're saying about that. It says, I'm sorry, you are striving to take over my my life and to force me into a straitjacket. It says, no, I'm not going to do that. So, and it's sad because that's a rat hole that sexual deviants race down and will force as many people as they can to go down that rat hole with them. And it stops progress. It stops everything. People who say it very succinctly says, if you go woke, you go broke. You know, for businesses and stuff like that. Universities like the ones I've been working for are doomed. Like I said, the university I have now, they have hired a diversity officer, which means that they will not tolerate a lot of groups anymore. It says I'm just kind of trying to stay under the radar and not publicly. Well, it's interesting I make these recordings, but you know, try to phrase things in ways that hopefully won't get me fired for not being of the acceptable orthodoxy. And because I'm not an orthodox person. And I know that these are people who say, well, we're not orthodox either. And you go, oh, yes, you are. You demand orthodoxy. You demand the ability to define it. Says this is the acceptable orthodoxy. And you go, yeah, I can see that. So, anyway, I'm not going there. And like I said, you know, I'm reasonably sure that in the not too distant future, I better just go ahead and as soon as I can take retirement, I need to, so that I don't have to censor myself as hard as I've started having to. And anyway, so it's sad that the world has come here, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so repugnant to so many people. In the old days, being Christian was a sign of being a decent person who was kind and charitable, all the things that Christ said we needed to be. And those were recognized as things. Now, you didn't have to subscribe to it. And, you know, it's one's choice. You don't have to subscribe to Christ's way of looking at things. Judeo-Christian societies vaunted these as the ideals, and those are now going away in favor of some kind of weird other thing, which is absolutely against it. Mostly a twisting of all these things. And the scriptures say that good will be bad and bad will be good, and we are in the midst of seeing this ongoing process. Anyway, so yeah, I've been doing the whole Agenda of God thing. I think I've got four different blog posts that are in various states of not quite ready to be published yet. And maybe one or two of them address this particular thing, where, you know, the whole idea of trying to alter the gospel of Jesus Christ to say that the sexual deviance is good or blessed or you know, an acceptable way of being to Christ. And you're going, I don't think it's not there. It's not there, however hard you want to do it and how much pressure you put on different religious groups to be accommodating of it. One of them is about visitors welcome. Every Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints building has the name of the church attached to it, and right underneath that name it says visitors welcome. All visitors are welcome. There's I'm in 3rd Nephi chapter 19 or so in the Book of Mormon, and Christ is very poignant about the fact that you better let everybody in the church, because you don't know if they're going to change their mind and want to, you know, want to align themselves better with the gospel. And you don't want to have been the person that said, no, 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 you can't be here. But that does not give people who are counter the gospel of Jesus Christ a forum, you know, in church meetings or in talks or in things like that, to espouse those such ideas. There's plenty of other forums. Use those. This Week in Mormons is a pretty good thing. It's mostly about cultural Mormonism, which is the whole thing of your parents were Mormons, your grandparents were Mormons, and you sit there and you go, well, that makes me a Mormon too. And you go, you know, if you're saying that as a person who lives in Utah, or in the Jello Belt, as it's called, which includes some of Idaho and some of Arizona and Nevada, maybe a little bit of California. Anyway, you know, that where it's just like, well, these were some of the beliefs that I was raised with. And you go, okay, but that doesn't, you know, it's a huge difference between feeling like you are a Mormon and you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Those don't actually, they don't necessarily coincide. And, you know, and even if you were baptized when you were 8, like I said, if you're 8 years old, you really don't often have any kind of idea about any of this stuff. And you can very easily find yourself, you know, feeling just, I just feel uncomfortable going to church meetings. And you go, yeah, if you aren't, and that's where the agenda of God comes up, which is exaltation. It is the almost programmatic track to exaltation. If exaltation is not interesting to you, then you're going to feel quite uncomfortable at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because that's what the church is about. If you only want, you know, you say, well, I just like some of the people there, you're probably still going to feel really uncomfortable at some point, even if you get baptized, if the track to exaltation is not interesting to you, or if you're not interested in it, you're probably going to just decide, oh, I'm not going to go to the church anymore. Why? He says, well, they were so pushy about things that I didn't think were important. And you go, yeah, that's fine. I understand. I think I've changed my tack on it. When my daughter said that she didn't know if the church was true anymore, and she was saying, I think I'm going to take my name off the records of the church. I had advised her not to. Now she ignored that and went ahead, and at least she says she took her name off the records of the church. It's really difficult with my daughter to know, because she will often tell quite a yarn for whatever personal reason she has. Typically that it makes her look good to various groups, you know, not very often her family. Fine, you know, I don't want her to be a liar, you know. But, yeah, anyway, and I said, you know, don't necessarily take your name off the records of the church. And it's like, well, I don't want to be bothered with it. I said, trust me. I said, it's very easy to just tell people that you don't want to have, you know, all you have to do is tell one bishop that you don't want to have anything to do with the church, and he'll just usually leave you alone. Kind of an unofficial, almost every warden branch of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has a list, and it's unofficial. There's no, it's not a thing, except for every single one has one, which is a do not contact list. And mostly from people who just say, I don't want to hear from church people. I don't want you to send anybody over. I don't want anything like that to happen, which is actually counter to the whole purpose of the church and the covenant that one takes upon themselves when they get baptized, which is, when you get baptized, you say, I want people to help me to get closer to Christ, and Christ's purposes are toward exaltation, and me being baptized is a commitment that I'm on that path. I want that. And it's like, well, if you don't want that anymore, then I'm really confused about why you're still, you know. It's almost like your baptism is worthless, except that your name is still on the records of the church. We still have to talk about you. We still have to make various drives on a regular basis, especially from higher leadership, to go out and try to redeem you. And, you know, it does have a thing to do with all the visitors welcome thing. There's also, you know, I think I've almost changed my mind about the whole thing about, you know, if people really aren't on the part of the program, aren't really interested in exaltation, don't want to go to the temple, which is part of getting that's part of the exaltation track, and we don't have another track. There is no other track. That's the only one. If you don't want exaltation, you probably should have your name taken off the records of the church. Of course, you have to choose to do that. Most people are really intensely lazy, and they just say, you know, it's just simpler to tell the bishop that you don't want any contact, and you're supposed to be kind to them and say that. And I'm almost, to be honest, I'm kind of tempted to not keep a do not contact list and put people in the position of saying, you need to figure out where you're heading, what's interesting to you. If the program of exaltation. You don't want, if you don't want anything to do with it, you know what? Just then I think you probably should take your name off the records of the church, because I have a, because are we going to keep bothering you? And you go, oh yes. They said, we get into trouble if we're not contacting you and working with you and trying to persuade you to work toward exaltation. That's just the nature of the beast. You got baptized. This is what you committed to. This is what we committed to in behalf of Christ, was that we were going to help you all we could to keep the covenants that you made and to get you to make more covenants so that you can enjoy eternal life, which is exaltation, becoming like God and living with Him forever. You know, and people go, well, I'm not interested in that. And you go, then I'm confused. Why do you think that baptism, you know, anyway, but so yeah, when people say, well, you know, I just don't feel like I'm very included in the church as a, as an LGBTQ Mormon, which for me, that's like, I don't know what tree you're barking up. I guess you just like living in Utah around a lot of Latter-day Saints, but you don't want to be part of the program. You go, I said so. I do reject the whole concept of, you know, gay or lesbian or transgender or bisexual Latter-day Saints. I don't think there can really be a classification, a useful classification, where such a thing is. The whole point of the church would be helping you to use repentance to align yourself with Christ. And that means that you would at least stop identifying yourself as an LGBTQ person in favor of saying, I'm being a follower of Jesus Christ, or trying to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't be a trying to be a follower of Jesus Christ and subscribe to those labels and say, well, I'm that. And you go, you can't be that and be this. So it really is kind of mutually exclusive. And those who try to combine the two together, it says it'll be really honest. I'll be really honest. I said, you will go to church and you're going to feel uncomfortable. And I'm sorry, I don't think there's any reason why anybody should go to any length at all to try to make you feel more comfortable. So, you know, you're really kind of counter the program. And I'll make that quite clear. So, you know, anybody who says they're an LGBTQ plus AEIEIEIEIEIO person, if they spend any time at the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints at all, will be invited to align themselves better with Christ, which involves repentance, which involves change, and that you're going to change to try to align yourself better. And that's it. It is more and more alignment to Christ and his purposes. And Christ's purposes are exaltation. That's why he did what he did. You know, he took upon himself all of our sins in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then died so that we might live again to accomplish the things that he was commanded to by his Father, which is to bring souls back to him. Exaltation. And exaltation, now, you know, people go, well, then what's the problem with a gay person wanting exaltation? You go, exaltation involves making covenants in the temple between a man and a woman, marriage sealing, which is becoming like God. This is God's state, and he wants all of his children to enter into that state. Well, doesn't have to be perfect and fantastic and marvelous about it, just be working toward it. And of course, a man and a woman sealed together through covenant. Gays can't do that. Lesbians can't do that unless they step outside of that and align themselves better with Christ. It's just that simple. You aren't going to be gay. You aren't going to be a very good member of the gay community if you're sealed together, a man sealed together with a woman for eternity. You know, it just, I'm sorry, it just doesn't, you don't do that. And you certainly don't sit there. Well, I don't know. It's become kind of vogue for men or women to say, "Well, I really am gay, but I decide to get married to a member of the opposite sex anyway," and stuff like that. And they go, "You know what would be easiest and probably make your spouse so much more happy? Is just drop the label." That really isn't descriptive of what's going on. I don't care if you're about a member of the same sex. It's irrelevant. Making a covenant and living up to that covenant of being sealed to man to woman to man. Should just simply supersede anything like that. And your thoughts should be toward your spouse, not toward a feeling that you have. It's just silly. Of course, transgenders are right off the scale. Completely, from the whole standpoint of, I'm sorry, you have gender, and God did not make a mistake. God did not put your spirit into the wrong body, and yeah, it just flies in the face of the agenda of God. God didn't screw up on that, and your insinuation that you are in the wrong body is directly counter to a belief in God or in God's ability not to have screwed this up. So yeah, since I, you know, that one's even simpler for just, you know, do that. And of course, having a productive sex is just so convoluted and silly with the whole thing of, you know, the only way that would work is, well, I was born a man and I became a woman, but not really. And I married a woman who became a man, but not really. And we had children together. And you go, that's just the most screwball. Yeah, it's like, what kind of weird mind games are you playing with everybody around you? Which I see as a cruelty. It's like, you're just trying to make it so that people look bad. You know, golly. And of course, the whole thing about, oh, I'm dressing up like a man. And you're going, I don't understand why women feel like that when they put on a pair of trousers and wear a shirt that it's, that this defines them. And, oh, I'm a man now. And they're going, oh, please. I don't even understand where you're going to put that, where that just doesn't sound like playing dress up, being a cross dresser. And what on earth is such a game? Why on earth should anybody engage in this game with you? It's like saying furries are really the animals they're trying to portray. I'm not a man. I'm not a woman. I'm a fox. And you're going, it's obvious you're not a fox. Well, I'm dressed like one. I look like one. And you're going, I don't have to play this game. I know you guys play this game and it's fun for you. But thank goodness furries haven't gotten to the point to where they absolutely force everybody around them to acknowledge the fact that that they're a fox or a rabbit or something like that, which is like, this is just silliness. Anyway, so yeah, it says, when we talk about the agenda of God, it's all about aligning ourselves with God, with Christ, to leading to exaltation. And that is the goal, is exaltation. There is no other goal. Christ does not offer multiple tracks particularly. He's not interested in it. You know, people who aren't interested in exaltation but want to float around on clouds and play harps, which was strangely enough how my grandmother described heaven, which I thought was funny because she was Church of Christ and they were very much against instrumental music. And I go, so how are you going to play a harp when they say you can't do that? But fantastic a cappella singers. Absolutely amazing. Anyway. You know, and it's just like, well, you know, it's people who say, well, I'm just going to be a decent person. You go, that's fine, but that's not Christ's agenda. Christ's agenda is not just for you to be a decent person. It's nice for everybody around you. Thank you for not making our lives miserable having to deal with you. Unlike the LGBT community, which seems to, one of its major reasons for existing is to make everyone around them practically miserable. Anyway, by saying that you're not decent, you know, where it's like, well, I was decent 5 years ago, but apparently I'm not now. It's like, wow, I didn't change. What changed? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But, you know, the agenda of God is simply there. It's simply exaltation. If you're a nice person, you're going to end up someplace nice. If you're not a nice person, you're not going to end up someplace nice. But if you don't go for exaltation, you're not going to get it. And the whole purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is to I don't know if the right word, maybe it's facilitate. To facilitate exaltation for God's children. And if you're not on the program, then the church is going to feel very uncomfortable for you. Not very accommodating of you. Like I said, although visitors are welcome, the whole point for the visitors being welcome is to help you better align with Christ toward exaltation. If that's not interesting to you, then, you know, can you come to church? Absolutely. It says, but are you going to find your attitudes that are counter to Christ's respected? Well, no, that's probably not the right word. Fawned over? No. We're going to talk about what leads one to exaltation. Not much of anything else. And so, everybody needs to be very careful about the fact that one shouldn't expect a comfortable beanbag chair, a nice hammock for whatever interesting concepts or ideas that come along to the church. It's just not going to be there. The church is pointed and has a purpose. And it is. It says, baptism in the church is saying, I'm signed on to this program. And we're going to help you get there. If you don't want the help, it's like, well, you can come and visit, but we're going to continue doing what we do. And if you don't like that, then it's no wonder you feel uncomfortable. And if you don't want to be at the church, that makes a lot of sense. And these days anymore, I would also say, are you sure you really want to be a baptized member? Because we will continue to work with you to try to get you toward exaltation until you make a pointed, you know, you need to write a letter, you need to talk to your local bishop about the fact that you don't want to be on the records of the church anymore, because we will come and we will bug you about it. It's almost we're under condemnation if we don't do that. And you go, well, I don't like that. I don't want to be visited. I said, well, then you need to take your name off the records of the church. Or you need to consider it. Because are you going to be hounded? Oh, yes. Because it's very important. Getting to exaltation is not just, stepping through a door. It's a sincere pursuit, and having other people along and being ministered to are are vital to reach that goal. And yeah, so I guess I would change my mind now, where I told my daughter not to take her name off the rector of the church. I guess now I would tell people, yeah, I says, you probably should. I said, and, well, no, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I said, but you've got to know that if you don't, are people going to seek you out and try to help you and move you along? And if you're not very interested, call you to repentance. Is it going to happen? And go, yeah. And you go, what about my free agency? He says, you made a commitment that you were on the path. If you're no longer on the path, but you don't want to be bothered about it, this is how you do it. And I hope it doesn't sound sick and twisted, but it's like, oh, yes. He says, we're going to continue to strive to work with you. And if you don't like that, there's a way to stop it. All right. Oh, boy. 22. It's 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and stop this and go to bed. And I'll make another recording some other time. Well, I usually do it on Sundays. Don't really do them other times. Anyway. Okay. Have a great life. Talk to you later, bye.